Hello and welcome to the Haywood County Schools podcast. This is Todd Trentham and I'll be your host on the show today. Today we're going to be talking about student assignment with our special guest for the program, Dr. Bill Nolte, our associate superintendent. Welcome to the show, Dr. Nolte.
I'm glad to be on. I appreciate you doing this podcast with me. There's some podcasts that are policy or procedural matters that we try to repeat every couple years, and we've really not done one on this topic, or if we have done one, I couldn't find it in the archives. It's been a while, so hopefully this will be helpful to people out there.
So today we're going to be talking for the next few minutes about how students are assigned to schools. And so let's just start that off with that big question. How are our students assigned to schools?
Well, in North Carolina, basically what the law says is that the student school is in the district where the parent is domiciled. And that's one of those legal terms for that's where you lay down and sleep and keep your toothbrush, and that's really where you live. It's not a piece of property that you own. I've told a lot of people, you know, I have an old family farm over in Tennessee, but that's not my residence. My residence is here, and this is where I've lived, and this is where I've lived for 30 years. Mm-hmm. So that's where it starts. And then inside the district, we have district lines. We've lost a lot of our community schools through the years, Crabtree and Fines Creek and Rock Hill and River Bend and Penn Avenue and all those schools. But we still try to maintain community school areas as much as we can and have students in the same areas who live together and our neighbors go to the same school. So we have these lines. And so the initial assignment is always that district inside Haywood County where the parent resides.
So, Dr. Nolte, what does the policy say about requesting another school if you want to go outside of that school that your residence might exist within?
Well, it does allow that, and we do that more often than you would think, and we may talk about that a little bit later on, but we want the school assignment to be convenient for parents, especially parents who are working. Mm-hmm. And so there are a few reasons in the policy that allow parents to request their children to go to another school and for that to be approved. The number one reason is a child care hardship, especially as it relates to work. So, for example, you live on Balsam and work in Canton. Parents, especially with younger children who might need child care, drop off and pick up and those kinds of things, could easily request a school in Canton even though they reside on Balsam. The opposite is true. You live in Beaver Dam or over on the eastern edge of the county and you work in Waynesville, then you can make a request, and a lot of people do, especially if it relates to the child getting on or off the bus or mom or dad or someone dropping the child off on their way to work. So that's the biggest reason. There are a few other reasons, but they're pretty uncommon, and we really like to document those very thoroughly. But that's the main reason.
So, Dr. Nolte, what is the process for making an official request to change schools?
Well, and you can, if this is something that you need to request, you can actually pick up the request form at any of our schools. They have a form called the Haywood County Schools Pupil Reassignment Form, and we have adapted that and approved that through the years. But basically, we ask that it be done in writing because we get phone calls, and it's not really a request because a lot of people call and ask questions and then decide against pursuing it. But we ask that they pick up a form, and you put some basic demographic information on it, name, student name, where you live, if it's a child care hardship, who's helping you with child care, where the child care is located, where you work in relation to the school you're requesting, and those kinds of things. And then you take it to your school of residence, you take it to the school where you live, where you reside, and say, I'd like to be released because I work 20 miles away from here and I'm going to request a school close to where I work. And they do a release, and then you take it to the school where you'd like to attend and tell them the same thing. And then it comes to me. And usually that comes through, and both principals understand it. It meets the policy. I sign off on it, and it's done in a day or two. Sometimes we have requests that don't really meet that criteria, or one principal agrees and the other one doesn't, and then I get to be the tiebreaker. But that's the process. It's pretty simple, and it can happen within a few days, really, if it matches the policy.
Dr. Nolte, with over 7,000 students in our school district, about how many of those students are living or are going to school outside of their residential district?
Well, you'd be surprised. You know, I think our enrollment this year was 7,188, like you said, a little over 7,000. And we only require students to get the out-of-district assignment for the school one time. So if I'm going into kindergarten and I ask to go to that school, my approval to go to that out-of-district school is good until I exit fifth grade.
Mm-hmm.
Or sixth, you're good through eighth, or high school, you're good until you finish, or the senior year. We do about 225 new requests each year. And then in any given year, we have over between 500 and 600, over 500 students who are out of district. And that sounds like a lot, but really almost all of them are related to a young child. You don't have nearly the request at the high school because you don't need the child care as much.
Sure.
But almost all of them are very young children. And there's a very legitimate reason for them to ride the bus to grandmama's house instead of mama driving 20 miles to pick them up, or for mom or dad to drop them off near their workplace. So it's a pretty good number, actually.
Dr. Nolte, when is the best time to make a request?
Well, the worst time is when you're mad at someone and you just want to leave the school because something happened at school. And so I would just encourage people, if, you know, something doesn't go well at school, let's try to fix that problem. You know, let's start, if the problem was in the classroom, let's start with a conversation with the teacher. Or if it's a broader school issue, let's start with a conversation with the principal. And so, because that's not in the policy anyway. I'm upset because of a grade or extracurricular participation or something like that. It's also not a good time to request in the middle of a semester, especially if you're in high school. It's just, even if you've moved, the classes don't always match up, even though all the schools are on a block now. The best time really to request, and I usually encourage parents, you know, if you can make it through the year, make the request during the summer. It's a clean transition for the student. There's not as much trauma emotionally or even physically for the student having to go into a new class with new students and new friends. So I really encourage people to make most of those requests in June. That still gives us plenty of time before school starts in the middle of August, and that's the best time to do that. And we actually require summer request for places like the early college and, you know, situations like that where it's connected to college courses. So the best time really is during the summer.
Well, Dr. Nolte, I want to thank you for being on the show today and talking to us about student assignment. Listeners, we appreciate you being with us. Have a safe and great day.